Hello, you beautiful Shield Uppers. This is your Patreon-exclusive podcast from RKG. You get this because you are amazing and very generous and very supportive. My name is Gav Murphy, and this week we've got you a little update on a work mum situation, as well as a problem about a fun boss, veganism, and a really shitty ex-partner. Also, if you're listening to this, when it goes out on the 20th of September 2019, you've got a few hours left to buy our RKG VHS shirt, which will cease to exist in the sales realm from midnight BST on Friday, the 20th of September. I love this t-shirt. I think it's lovely. The back is especially awesome. And it's full of awesome in-jokes that you can, you know, proudly say, I get that reference when you buy it. So that's a reason to buy it in itself. Go to everpress.com/RKG, and RKG has to be capitalized for some reason. Everpress.com/RKG to get that t-shirt before it's gone forever. It is actually quite funny to think someone might be listening to this in like 2 years' time and how different our company and lives will be then. So if you are listening to this on September 20th, 2021, for some reason, then get in touch with us, bit.ly/shieldup. And of course, if you also get in touch in 2019 because you have a problem or a story or something you need us to know, then you can also get in touch with us, which is bit.ly/shieldup. Okay, let's get on with the show. Let's start with an update. We've got an update. I don't know if you guys remember from a few weeks ago, but there was a dude who owned a business and he referred to a lady as his work mum, and she was always getting stressed.
Yes.
Powers, you got a really, really good scheme for this, which was basically like to let her come into a room in a meeting, and the meeting was basically the stress meeting, and she was allowed to just clear all her stress.
Yeah, I remember to him. Because then it was like, if she complained again, it's like, hey, save it for the meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a very good scheme.
Thank you.
It seems to have gone down really well. So he says, hey guys, just want to let you know that I have implemented Rory's idea about once a week meetings where my work mum could bring up her stress slash problems. It has genuinely helped her relax Monday to Thursdays and even made her more productive. However, Friday the meetings, she would then proceed to stress everyone out for 15 minutes, which is fine. So he's not doing it just for him. He's bringing everyone into the meeting.
Okay.
Which is fine, he says. It's been incredibly helpful and everyone simply knows she is just this way. Once a week is significantly better than all day every day. I also had the proactive idea to hire someone to work side by side with her to learn the workings of the business. Hopefully that's not to eventually jettison her.
Yeah.
Like,
train her up and then
you learn her skills so you can become
take her face
and eat her soul. This has helped her with her workload hours and solved the problem of being needed to replace her and train someone new one day when she retires, as I have many more years of work left than she does. Cheers, boys. The advice and opinions help. My already stressful work days have been made just that little bit less stressful, and my work mum is happier for it. I'm thrilled. Thank you. Also, for context, the profession is called denturist. I specialize in false teeth, dentures, and oral appliances. The business I bought that's been around for 40 years is a dental clinic in Ottawa, Ontario. I, on average, work 5 a.m. till 6 p.m., which is why I couldn't handle her stress on top of my own. My early morning and late nights, listening to your banter.
5 a.m. to 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
Is that what he said? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a big old shift.
Big old 13-hour day, isn't it?
That's a lot of teeth.
There we go. But we actually genuinely helped something. One of your schemes hasn't resulted in a death. It's resulted in someone having a nicer time.
And now
who would have thunk it?
Now I get free dentures for life.
Yeah.
That's basically how this works.
You got to go to Canada for them.
I'm fine. I just need to make sure that the cost of the dentures is more than the cost of the flight and accommodation.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like wrapper grills, the whole deal, you know, like get grills.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Wouldn't
Clara's friend, actually, like Clara's meant to be tattooing it the other day. And she had a text going, I'm having my teeth done in Turkey. So unfortunately, I won't be able to make my tattoo. And Clara said this
is like a spy code,
or the medium, like they're made into.
Well, Clara said this to me as if like going to get your teeth done in Turkey is like a thing that people know about, and I was like, wait,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, dental tourism.
Yeah, I was like, that's weird.
It's like all those people that died after they went on holiday and got ass surgery.
Did you read about this?
There was like a whole epidemic of ass surgery that you could get in countries where there obviously weren't as strict laws when it comes to surgeries like this.
Where they had an abundance of asses.
I think it's like you get like ass implants. Then obviously because it's so unregulated, people are just dying.
To be fair, you get health tourism from America because America's fucked. So people go to Canada for minor surgeries.
For their asses.
What was happened to the ass people?
Your ass got infected and you died. I'm not a doctor. I don't know if I can speak with any authority.
She died of a broken ass.
That's how I want to go.
Then like, you know, like when they say like old people is like, oh, when one person dies, then like 2 weeks later, they die of a broken heart.
The other cheek goes.
Yeah.
what they don't say is like, it's because they were both old.
Yeah. They were both old as fuck, actually.
Yeah, she was old as fuck. It scared her a bit and then she died. Yeah.
Oh, but her ass.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. It's incredible.
Right up until the end. She'd have loved this. But yeah, Clara just chucked in, oh yeah, she's getting her teeth done in Turkey. That's as if bizarre. It was like the most normal thing in the world.
Done in, as in like whitened?
I have no idea.
Because not straightened. That's a braces
maybe
situation.
Maybe it's like grills. Maybe it is grills.
Maybe like veneers.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe it's cheaper. Maybe
it's vampire teeth.
Yeah, I don't know.
Getting them shaved.
But there we go. That's a problem that we have solved. Boom. Don't say we don't make a difference, because we bloody well do. Hello, boys. I'm an art director at a mid-sized business in Chicago. I have 3 employees who report directly to me, and I've just found out they have a secret Slack server, along with a couple others in the company, that I am not on.
Ooh.
The other day, I had to get on one of their computers while they were out sick, and their Slack was open right to a message mentioning me.
Oh, this is gonna be bad.
I like to think we're a really tight group because we're all around the same age, get together outside of work, play Pokemon Go, see movies, etc. together. This secret server is making me feel like some sort of villain they just don't trust. How can I cope with this knowledge? Alternatively, what kind of scheme should I hatch to get invited? Cheers.
So he said there was a message about him?
Yeah, but I don't think it was a mean one. I think it was just like mentioning him. He didn't say what the actual message
was.
Okay. So I think he's more just sad that he's not on the secret Slack server.
Dude, you're not getting on the secret Slack service messaging board.
Yeah.
I think you got to kind of make peace with that.
But also, like, I feel a bit sorry for
you. You talk about Slack in such a weird way, the messaging board Slack.
Yeah,
you used to work at Slack.
I kind of had a brain freeze right there.
I feel a bit sorry for him, but like, you are the boss. And no matter what, I know, like, you know, you get together outside, you're the same age and stuff like that. Some people are still going to see you as the boss, you know?
And even if it's not slagging you off or anything like that, they'll just want to talk about work in a different way. It'll just be inappropriate for you to be in there.
And I think that's healthy, you know, for your employees to have a space where they feel like they can talk openly.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't look at that as necessarily a negative thing.
And also, if that's done on work computers, just speak to IT, you can get access to all of it.
Yeah. Get straight in.
You absolutely do, because that's on company equipment. So
yeah, because that's the thing. I think you should just accept that, yes, you are going to be friendly with them, but there's always going to be a barrier between you because you're the boss and they work for you.
I like Daniel's hacking idea, though. Can we hear more? Yeah. I never thought I'd say this. Can I hear more from Daniel? Yeah.
That's rude.
But, like,
I'm just going to message Gav right now.
On the secret Slack server. Yeah, it's cool.
Powers is a prick.
Powers, 3 question marks.
Where does he get off?
What's he playing at?
Just because his letter comes first, he thinks he's all that. Unbelievable.
Crack starting to show 9 months in, lads. But yeah, no, like I have a friend who is the boss. It's a really fun company and they do fun things together, but she's the boss and like sometimes she does get sad because she's like... It's like sometimes people go out for like dinner and drinks and stuff without her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, there's like a boss thing. But I think that's right because you do need to kind of vent about work and stuff. And especially in a small environment like that. But I wouldn't take it. I definitely don't take it personally or anything like that.
No.
But also don't go down like, I think you should just in your head, just write it off.
We used to have like a WhatsApp group at our old work that didn't have our boss in it.
Yeah.
Don't think we ever really talked that much about work or our boss in that. It was we're
mates.
It would just be occasionally maybe inappropriate for him to be in there or whatever. But it's not like nothing negative about you per se.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just memes and the best time to steal office equipment. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
How to bring it down from the inside. I mean, that's what the group is called.
Yeah.
Operation Screwjob.
Do you see that? So the other day, Greg Miller tweeted out, has anyone in the San Francisco area got one of these? And it was like a picture of a mixing desk because I needed it for a shoot.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll pay, or can you lend us one tomorrow? We need this bit of equipment.
Well, like a DJ
mixing desk. Like to audio, like, sorry.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Right,
yeah, I think
okay.
they had a lot of like tech troubles.
Yeah, yeah. And ooh. IGN lent it one to them. What can we get off them?
TriCaster?
Ethernet TriCaster. Cable.
Mate, I left one of my Sennheiser, like...
Lav mics
You're
there.
Giving them stuff.
But I feel, I'm like, that's like 600 quid. Like, I wonder now if I could get that back.
It's too long now.
I feel a bit weird to get that back.
600 quid?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You could ask for that back.
It's too long now, though.
It'd
be hard to prove. Like, that'll be like... it'll be because yeah. I'd be thinking, well, why didn't you ask for it sooner?
I saw them using it at a shoot the other day. Yeah.
Did they?
The audacity.
It's like you're keeping tabs on your ex. But it was capturing someone else's audio.
It's just one of those things now. Just like, I can't ask for that back.
No. I mean, you could.
I feel weird.
The mic's moved on.
Yeah, the mic has moved on.
It's been on Cardi loads.
I don't mind if
it's been strapped to Cardi.
You know what that boy's
doesn't
been.
Doesn't even smell like you anymore. Like,
yeah. You just walk up and you're like, the mic's like, oh, hi Gav. Yeah, I'm with Simon now. You're like, no, that's fine. I'm glad you're happy.
But then it hears your enunciation and your mic discipline. It's just like, I can't quite let you go.
Yeah, Carly's like, Carly's in his face.
He's putting up his nostril like Uncle Fester.
Like, why is he so moist? But yeah, also what I was going to say as well, you don't want to go down the Michael Scott avenue of trying to be like the cool boss. And,
yeah.
Because that's just going to be awful.
Yeah.
Just have fun in the Slack group that you're a part of. Make that like a fun place as well that everyone can chat. But I wouldn't worry about it. It's fine. It's not this isn't a weird thing.
I don't think so, yeah. I think you're good. But also, remember, you earn more money than I am as well. So there you go.
And you can fire them.
You can fire them. Or hack them. That's what
or hack them. Yeah. A lot of options.
It's not hacking. You're entitled. That's that information.
Especially if you're the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
called typing.
We had a boss before who, like, she claims that, like, she was, like, incompetent, like, this boss was. And she asked us to do the most stupid stuff that we just, like, wouldn't make sense. But it was one of those things where it was just like, it'd get to a point where I'd be like, oh, I don't think that's necessarily a good use of time. I think it is. I've got lots on already and I don't want to put that on my team. I want you to do this thing. And it's basically like, all right, well, I'm guessing doing this then. And a friend of mine, John, had messaged about her and it was like, it wasn't anything really out of order, but it was just like, I can't believe someone this dumb is allowed to drive or something like that.
That's not good.
But the email was sent like 3 days ago, something like that. And it had her name in it. And John used to leave his computer open all the time. And we used to say, like, you got to stop doing it because people will go on people's Facebooks and shit like that and just as a joke.
Yeah.
But she was in early one day and we think she basically did, like, a search for her name in his emails. And it was like, her name is so dumb. I can't believe she's allowed to drive or something like that.
Oh, that's not good.
And she, like, printed it out and put it up all over the office and was just like, when we got in, she was in at 9, we weren't until 12. Then we got in, all these printouts were everywhere and we were just like,
that's awful.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Luckily, the email wasn't to me. And I, even though I was working on the day, we were like, there. Two of us that were there were just like, I don't want to be there where this happens. Like, should we just go to the tape library? So we literally just sat in the tape library for like 2 hours. But yeah. Something you just bet not knowing, mate.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hi, chaps. Primordial Slug here, but first time writer-inner. I have always been a big meat eater, having been brought up on the classic meat, potato and veg diet of a middle-class English family. Meat was a big part of my diet. However, I've been vegan for about a year now, and initially this was due to environmental reasons, and I started with cutting down meat, to cutting out meat, to going essentially vegan for animal welfare reasons. He says, I'm sometimes flexible with dairy for an easy life. First off, I would like to say there are a lot of people who are generally quite interested in how hard it is to be vegan and say that they would like to down their meat intake, something that we have talked about very often.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular opinion, I very rarely shout about this, but when it does come up, people seem to generally take offence, despite them usually being the one to bring up the topic with the full intention of subjecting me to the Spanish Inquisition about what I'm having for my tea. I've been pretty sick of the usual loaded questions and comments. Don't you miss meat? you're supposed to eat meat. And one of my personal favourites, them holding up something and going, you can't eat this, normally said with a smug grin. Despite presenting the undeniable evidence for being vegan, people don't seem to accept my decision, which, at the end of the day, has no impact on their lives. My question is really, how do you deal with people being deliberately obnoxious about the way you live your life? It's difficult to try to explain without sounding like a smug know-it-all, which only seems to wind people up even more. I don't really want to just ignore the naysayers because it's become something I'm generally passionate about and it would feel like backing down. Also wondered if any of you guys ever tried going vegan. Thanks for all your content. I've just submitted my PhD thesis, I don't know if it's about veganism, and you guys have been a big part of helping me through this stressful time. So the question is, like, how do you go about people being deliberately obnoxious about the way you live your life?
That's a good question.
Shoot them and eat them.
Yeah. That's tough. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like probably 4 or 5 years ago, I was probably one of those assholes throwing bacon at someone and being like, oh, I can't eat this.
Putting bacon fat in their pillows when they're going to sleep.
Fat in their soy milk and stuff.
A lot of bacon fat pranks.
Literally putting pigs in blankets.
Yeah. You're like that vegan boy. Damn soy boy.
But yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know.
It's one of those things much easier to say than actually do.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Like I think that's the only thing is like, if there are people in your life and that's quite hard because it sounds like that's friends and people you know, it's quite strange for them to have that reaction. I think you just don't.
I'm finding it more, maybe it's a thing of getting older or maybe it's a thing of just like having the stress of running a company or, you know, I just don't care about a lot of things. Like I look at people on Twitter, and we do this quite a lot, where we just be like, look at people on Twitter, like, who spend, especially in games journalism as well, like, not that I call a lot of people who tweet journalists, but you can just see them just be like, what have you done today? Like, they're just there, just tweeting and, like, taking issue with something so tiny and having, like, an opinion about something because they feel like they should have an opinion. And I just look at them just like, I just don't care. I just really don't care.
I live with two vegans.
They would be, and they also like the Scott Pilgrim like level 19 vegans as well.
Oh
like,
yeah,
they don't like, fuck about.
They have like, superpowers essentially, and pretty much until Christmas this year, like I would eat meat every meal, every single meal, because it wasn't a meal unless you had your main, which was always some kind of meat. But then me and my brother in January started. We were just like, let's just give this a shot for like a month or two. We'll cut down on our meat. Let's try some oat milk. Let's just do some different recipes and try and cut down, mostly for like an environmental reason and also, you know, animal health and things like that. And it was really nice because even when I ate meat, my vegan roommates never really brought it up. I would ask some questions now and again. They'd be like, oh yeah, if you're interested, this is this and this is this.
Yeah.
And it was like quite a nice way to do it. And then now that I try and have meat like once a week, really, as a treat, but then pretty much just like corn and vegetables and things for every other meal. And it is nice, and like it's kind of tough when it's something that you're excited about.
Yeah.
Like if I try a new recipe, it's like I've talked to you about it before. I'm like, man, I just had like vegan chili last night with corn.
Yeah.
And if you get the wrong person, I think they're gonna automatically feel like something they love, meat,
is
under attack. But I think it's like there are people out there who are probably genuinely enthusiastic about it as well.
Yeah.
And it's like finding those people and knowing how much you can talk about it. And then there's always going to be the dickheads that are always going to be automatically against it.
I think you can have it both ways, can't you? I find it really odd, though, for either someone who's a vegan or someone who really eats meat, like to identify that as part of their personalities. Like the thing that you eat is part of your personality.
It's
like,
weird, isn't it?
It's literally a phrase. You are what you eat. Yeah. It's like, it's bad, like in our, you know what I mean? Like, I guess people also like extending that various religions, it's quite an integral thing to identity. Like we, you know, it's such a huge part of culture, isn't it? I guess that's why people take it quite personally. Cause it's like, I don't know, like they associate with memories and people, like stuff like that. Like it's quite deep sometimes, even though it seems quite, it's just what I eat.
Yeah. I think because I don't have any of those reasons in me, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because we've started like cutting down quite a lot of meat, and it's just been, because I started feeling like really sloggy and stuff. Like after like a really big like meat Yeah, because I was having meat, like, every, as you say, like, every single day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't feel particularly good.
It's weird, man. It's surprisingly easy to cut out.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's, when I think back to, like, how much I was eating, I'm like, that's crazy. How much.
It's perhaps, like, other people just feel judged.
And I think so,
it's their way of reacting and dealing with it. And also, like, even if, like, I'm, from what you're saying, it's like, you're not doing this at all. But, like, think some people can be even slightly evangelistic about a certain lifestyle, other people then puts them on the back foot and they maybe get a bit spiky because they're like, well, I don't live like that and I don't want to be made to feel like this is the wrong way to live.
It's
got to be difficult. That's sometimes a sore area for people, understandably.
I think you're right, isn't it? Because, like, you just go, there are some people, there's a couple of people, there's one person that I follow on Twitter and she is vegan, but, like, that's pretty much all she talks about. And, like, when she talks about video games, I like that bit, which is why I keep following her. But it is really strange because, like, I can see why the reaction is this, because I see her tweets about something and it'll be like, you know, the dairy industry is costing this amount, this is what it's doing to the planet. And I look at it and I'd be like, ah, shit, man. Like, then you start to feel bad. But my reaction to feeling bad about that isn't like, this is bullshit. In my reaction to feeling bad, it's like, I feel bad myself about it and be like, no, I should do something about it. But I can also see it going the other way because it's like, no one likes to be talked at, and, you know, no one likes to feel like they've done something wrong because they were hungover and they had a bacon sandwich. You know what I mean?
Like, and I guess the veganism touches on, like, you could, people, like you were saying something about their ethics, their attitudes towards the environment, sustainability, future generation. It gets very loaded very quickly in some people's heads.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's like, it's a really interesting thing as well. It's like, I remember, like, years ago, I tweeted something about Chris Pratt, like, hunting, because he hunts a lot. And at the time, I made, like, it was just a shitty comment about him, like, hunting. And then someone, rightly so, was just like, you don't eat any meat then or anything like that. Like, you don't wear this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that is a completely fair point because I do all those things. And it's like, For me, taking issue with the fact that he hunted, that someone else could quite easily be like, well, I take issue with those fucking boots you're wearing, mate. Like, or all that bacon you've had in the last year. Do you know what I mean? You're just like, It's just like seeing it from different perspectives, really. But oat milk is nice. So
it's good. Yeah. And corn.
Corn is really, really delicious. Nice. I think it's easier than people think to make a change. Like, we've got friends who are, like, vegans who live in Japan, and, like, that's quite, like, it's a non-vegan culture, but they've done an amazing job of basically, and I think actually Japan is getting really amazing for understanding vegan stuff like that now.
Because we have the luxury of living in London, where it's like every third restaurant is a vegan restaurant, so it makes it very easy to have absolutely delicious vegan food. I had, like, vegan fried chicken the other day, and it was freaking delicious. It was so good.
Three of our favorite restaurants here, like, now have, like, a keto menu where you can have, if you're on a ketogenic diet, you can just order from there. It's like, that's amazing.
I love being a city boy.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously maybe harder the more you go.
Yeah.
It's closer to Wales. although they've just gone Honest Burger. So
in Cardiff. Honest Burger do fantastic vegan burgers.
Do they?
Yeah, you ever had their vegan burger?
No.
It's delicious. It's one of Kit's favorites.
Oh, wow. He's awesome.
Like, loves it.
Yeah. There we go.
Thank you. Hang in there, man. You're doing great.
That's answered all your questions, I think. Well done. Here's another one about people deciding to live their lives a certain way.
Okay.
Hi, lads. I need a scheme. My problem is with my neighbours. I live in a flat with a kind of shared balcony. It's connected to a flat in a different building, but there's a frosted glass divider, so I still have privacy. The problem, however, is smoke. Both of the neighbours smoke a lot. They go out to the balcony because they have a kid, and I guess they want to protect the kid from the smoke. They seem to take turns smoking too, not together, so it's pretty frequent, maybe every 20 to 30 minutes. Christ alive.
Ooh,
the problem is the smell comes right into my flat, even making the clothes we have drying, not on the balcony, smell of smoke. With the hot summer, we like to keep the patio open, but I have to close it a lot because we smell the smoke. They sit right against the divider that's less than a meter from our door sitting room. It also runs sitting in the sun. It also ruins sitting in the sun on the balcony as it's so close. They hear a slam in our patio when we hear the lighter click, so they know we can smell it. They are perfectly entitled to smoke in their balcony. It's their property, and they are not smoking inside, I assume, for their child. I can't make them stop smoking, but with a scheme, maybe I can get them to do it less frequently. Any ideas? Maybe I can create my own smell, an ungodly smell, or some annoying noise. Maybe put a beehive on the divider. Anyway.
I like where this guy's head's at, or girl's.
Please help. Like, it is awful with something like that.
Yeah, it's tough as well, because smoke doesn't obey the law. No. Smoke, you can't arrest smoke or yell at smoke. It does what it wants. It goes in through the vents. It seeps into the walls. You can't fight smoke.
I've been thinking about this a lot recently, and I was like, smokers almost like operate on their own rules and stuff like that. Like, and it kind of started doing my head in like quite a lot. Like today I came out of the cafe, I went in to get a salad. When I walked out, there was a dude like standing outside the door having a cigarette. So obviously he's not smoking in the cafe. His mate was inside. But he's like, I opened the door and like just a big puff of his smoke went straight into my face.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him and went, cheers, mate. And like, he didn't understand why I was annoyed about anything, because I don't think he even realized that that is not a very nice thing.
I guess if
for
you
someone.
Like the puff of smoke, yeah. is a whole different thing.
And like,
I don't know. I feel like it's I think even if you like smoking, you can understand the concept of like somebody else not.
I went to and like the other day, I broke my finger, so I went to the hospital. And outside the hospital, it's just like four people just like chain smoking, like. And like, so the entrance to the hospital just stank of smoke, and it was like,
but are they just come to the hospital just so they're in the right place?
They're ready,
just in
case?
Yeah.
it's the best place to do it, to be honest.
Last one.
It's like, I know it's dangerous, but I feel like I'm offsetting it.
Yeah.
That's where I do my heroin. Right on the doorstep.
Just in case anything goes wrong.
Too much, just wheel them in, yeah.
But it's a really strange thing, because like, beer gardens aren't beer gardens anymore. Beer gardens are just smoking areas. Yeah. Like, that sucks, man, because I don't want to be around stuff like that. Like, because like ashtrays, like full ashtrays and stuff, like goes through me. Like, I even so, if we go anywhere and there's like an ashtray, like I'll always make an effort to like move it, because I just don't like having it anywhere near me or anything like that. It just makes you feel really, really icky.
It's like, basically, to get video gamey on you, it's basically like having something that you like doing that has like an AOE.
Yeah.
It's like if you're out eating somewhere public and like someone's playing their music out loud without headphones on. It's like, they're just listening to your music, but seeping into everyone else's kind of conversations in life. And it's like, you can't really tell them to stop because it's not, or like turn it down, or.
Well, this is really hard.
And that
for this.
Music gives you cancer.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is really hard for this dude though, because they're saying that obviously going outside because they don't want to smoke in the house because they got kids. So they, like, from their point of view, they're doing nothing wrong. They're smoking outside. Yeah. Like,
and he does acknowledge this, like, it is their balcony.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. Because they're not doing anything wrong. Let's think schemes, boys.
Well, I think what he doesn't mention in any of this is actually going to talk to them. Like.
Yeah. You could just say,
the ultimate
would you mind smoking on the other side of your balcony just because it's seeping in? Because
I know they're going to the balcony, but you could just say, could you just go somewhere else to smoke? Like, because it's just coming straight into our house.
Yeah. We get one of those high-pitched things that you get for cats, stop them pissing on your begonias.
Yeah. But just for humans.
Just do it on the frequency works on them.
Could you get a fan? Set up a fan that blasts kind of up over the divider. Yeah, so any smoke that comes over is automatically pushed back to them.
That's good.
Get a trellis, but instead of plants, it's just loads of Glade plugins.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Just disperse constantly.
Yeah, yeah. The spitty ones.
Ones. Yeah, right, just like that on a trellis.
That's good. These are some pretty good ideas.
Preventative.
Combative. I was at a festival once, and there was this dude in front of me smoking, and it was like pretty packed in, it was a day festival, so it was in the day, so everyone's having a really nice time, and he was like dancing, but his cigarette's getting like really close to me, so I tapped him and I was like, hey man, that cigarette's coming really close to me. He was like, oh, sorry, so he put it down, and then he just immediately just turned around and danced, and the cigarette went straight into my hand, and I was like, you just burnt me now, and that really hurt. And he was like, oh, and he didn't even seem that pissed. In the next 20 minutes, he did it again, and then almost did it a third time. And I was like, you're not having these cigarettes anymore. So I took the cigarette out of his hand, put it on the floor, and then took his packet and just threw it into the crowd. It's like, that's one way of doing it. But he was like, he turned around, he was like, look, I'm really sorry. And I was like, I've got a burn mark on my hand from where you've just stinged me. It's like, you're not having cigarettes anymore.
You can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if they start burning you,
yeah,
that's when you know you need to step up your game.
I think like passive aggressive slamming the doors and stuff like that is not going to work because people like, not saying that these people do anything wrong, but they obviously like in their own bubble, in their own world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're not going to notice shit like that.
Actually, that could work if we could put them in some
kind of bubble.
That's yeah. That's good.
Build a bubble around their thing. Yeah.
Or a bubble around your thing.
Also,
you shouldn't be in the bubble. Put them in the bubble.
You can make the bubble nice though.
But essentially, their bubble would turn into a gas chamber.
Yeah, are you a part of like, is the, I think he said it, if you're sharing a balcony, are you a part of the same like renter thing? Because you could just tell on them. Just be like, oh, these motherfuckers are smoking. Because you know I'm allowed to smoke in any rented property.
That's a good point. Yeah, also, tell your landlord, it's like, oh, I'm having such a good time, but I think the neighbors are smoking.
Yeah.
I'd hate to move out and stop giving you money because my lungs are.
Ooh, just think how yellow their flat must be.
Yeah. Can't you just go, like, I think just go speak to them.
Burn it down. Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry.
There's a really good bit in Limmy's new book about a similar thing to this, where he's like, he hated people smoking. And then a friend of his was like, oh, had quit smoking and was like, oh, I've got a spare room in my flat. Do you want to move in? He was like, yeah. And then the dude, when he got there, like started smoking again. And he was like, oh, mate, you're smoking loads. And then they basically got into this big tiff where it ended up in this huge row where they just weren't friends anymore.
Jesus.
And it gets really, really petty as well. But you don't want to get to that. I feel like just talking to people.
What if you wait until Christmas and then Secret Santa style, just gift them both vapes? And then at least it's probably like cherry or cotton candy seeping over. That's better than smoke, though.
It is better than smoke.
And like, then now they're...
I still hate the smell of that, though.
It's better.
All
than
vape smells to me like Panda Pops. You've like
that is better than cigarettes, though.
But yeah, it's better than cigarettes. But really, it all smells like Panda Pops that you've like spilled on jeans and it's like got all dry and sticky.
I mean,
like
that is the flavor that Tam smoked. It was Panda Pop on jeans.
Disgusting.
He loved that flavor.
Panda Levi's.
Panda Levi's.
Yeah,
they were good. I think there's a couple good schemes in there. Yeah. I'd say.
I mean, in the middle of all that as well was
taught to them.
And talk to them and also burn it down.
Yeah.
So take what you want from that.
Yeah, flick a match into the living room and say, I hear you like smoke. And then
that'd be nice for the kids.
Remember they've got a baby. How'd you like to be smoke? let us know how that one goes, though.
Yes.
Because that's got the potential to go up in smoke.
Oh, nice.
I know you like that. Hey boys, I will start by saying that I love everything that you guys do, and you have no idea how much your content helps me through my struggles.
Aww.
Well, your content and the show, friends. the laughs are especially helpful in my current predicament. I don't know if he means friends or us. Embrace yourselves, because here it comes. I was in a relationship for 10 months, and I love this woman more than I loved my previous ex of 2.5 years. Recently, she had grown more distant and barely talked to me. Finally, she stopped talking to me altogether, and then informed me that she needed a break, and she had become emotionally disconnected months before. Being the religious person that I am, I prayed for hours and days about this, and I felt that I was being told to try to keep this relationship alive. The main problem was that she was unhappy, but she never communicated to me that she was unhappy or that she was what she was unhappy about. Therefore, I could never accurately take steps to fix it. After I tried multiple times to no avail to get her to open up about what had been bothering her, I agreed to the break. We stayed friends, and I figured that maybe down the road there was a chance we could try again and work out our problems, if that was what we both wanted. But now I found out that during this rough patch leading to the problems, leading to the break, she got drunk and cheated on me. I know this from marks on her chest and neck area that I spotted along with some mutual friends of ours mentioning it to me out of concern. It utterly crushed me. I do still love her and want to confront her about it, if nothing else, than for my own peace of mind. But I also just want her to be an adult and tell me about it instead of me having to tell her that I know. So my question for you boys is, how do you think I should handle this? And what advice do you have for generally coping and healing from this massive situation?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Do you want to just clarify, she cheated on him or her during the period she was being quiet? Like they were together.
Yes, I believe so.
Yes,
it's when she started stopped communicating.
Well, they agreed to a break.
Right.
And they stay, and then that's where she cheated on him.
One, don't be watching Friends, because there's a lot about this in Friends.
Yes, there is, yeah. Friends has got a lot of answer for.
Yeah, man. About breaks.
Yeah, it does, yeah. That's tough.
I always feel like that as well. Like, I remember trying to break up with someone. They were like, let's just go on a break. And I was like, it's not what I want at all.
It's literally halfway to a break. It says the word break.
Just. Yeah.
It's hard, man.
They've broken up now. They're just friends.
Yes, they've broken up. They're just friends. But he's basically, he wants her to admit it. I feel like, man, no matter what she says, it's not going to fix everything.
Yeah.
You're just going to know something.
It seems like all he wants is for her to know that he knows she cheated on him.
But he also doesn't want her to...
She feels bad.
Yeah, it's like, that's not...
But he also doesn't... He wants her to admit it rather than her just finding out that he knows.
Dude, I know it's not what you probably want to hear, but it's... I wouldn't bring it up. I would just try and move on.
Yeah.
Like, it's her knowing that you know and you telling her... That she's a bad person isn't going to help anything, really.
Yeah. The morbid compulsion to know and, like, get detail will fade. Like, right now, you feel like that is going to, like, help.
Yeah.
And, like, having her, like, show some kind of contrition would help. In a month or two, you'll be happy. You'll be happy to, like, not know and you won't think about it. Like, just right now, I think the attraction to know is so strong.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this before, but it's like, I had a friend of mine with a similar situation, but without the break. And he was like, I just need to know. I'm going over there. I want to find out everything. Then he came back like 3 hours later. He's like, I wish I didn't ask.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't know. I wish I could go back.
I was far too much detail for my liking.
I remember at one point he was like, you should have told me I was going over there. I was like, we're not doing this.
Yeah. Did it help? No, she put on a video.
Yeah. He was like, it did not help. It's made it worse. And I want to die.
There's a really good bit in an episode of Always Sunny where it's like a similar sort of thing to that where they're trying to like find out what really happened.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, like, tell us more. And they start telling us more and they go, tell me less. Tell me less. But yeah, we talked about closure and kind of like the illusion of closure on the podcast before. And I feel like this is kind of like
much bollocks. Yeah, that is.
You just want an excuse to kind of see them again, and maybe we'll get back together. I don't know. I don't want
to
say that.
I feel like we need to start doing like an FAQ for this as well, being like things that we think is really bollocks. It's like closure.
Global warming
again. Closure. That's another Friends thing. That is another Friends thing where they were like, there's an entire episode about closure and how they need closure. And then I'm pretty sure it doesn't go well for them in that episode.
It never really goes well for the Friends, does it? Sometimes.
We should do like a Friends special.
Like, they fucking hate each other.
If you've got anything
that... Ross couldn't even keep a monkey.
If you've got anything, any problems related to Friends, then make sure you go... bit.ly/shieldup and then we'll do a Friends special.
That's a pretty good idea, actually.
And then at the end of that, I better get my fucking monkey, let me tell you.
Marcel. Marcel.
I said it to you guys, but everyone should check it out. But the Sea of Thieves people had a monkey on their live stream. He went on there. They thought, this will be really fun. We got a little monkey on the live stream. And just shit and threw up everywhere. So many gifs of him just throwing up. But it's just like, you know, it's like in that Limmy Dream Scream sketch where he's just throwing up black. And the monkey just like, bleh. It's all over
It's extra funny because you forget how like weirdly human they are. Because he was sick, but then he like... kind of grabbed the sick from his mouth and like put it on the guy. And you're like,
the dev's holding his hair back, going, shh, it'll be all right. It's okay, all right. It's okay. I know she's a slag. I know, but it's fine. You leave her.
We'll get back in the club. Don't worry.
Oh, it's on my shoes.
I think it's sometimes you just got to let it go.
Yeah, it sounds like...
And it's better to let it go rather than just find out the whole thing. And
sounds like it's definitely... If she did cheat on you while you were together, it's definitely like better marks, to just move on.
Yeah, so he said, I know this from marks on her chest and neck area. Like hickeys, maybe. We have a hickey expert in the house, so...
one time.
Can you figure out who the hickey giver was by the impression? Is there any... What are the latest forensics on hickeys?
Who was it? Me and Joe who had a hickey? Yeah, the same
I was doing a podcast with the two of you, and I was like, I think there's still a video of it somewhere, because it was when we still did video podcasts on IGN UK, and I was like, I think two of you were talking about some bollocks, and I was just like, hang on, am I sitting with two people who have hickeys?
It was like, that was the weirdest coincidence to both have a hickey in the same week.
But it was also good because the two of you to kind of like, not that it's an embarrassing thing to have it, but I think the two of you to sort of, your way of coping with me pointing it out was to turn around on me being a fridge that I didn't have a hickey. And I was like, yeah, it's very good, very good. Game recognized game. You're like, I can't believe I'm sitting with someone who doesn't have a hickey.
I had the worst... set of hickeys I ever had.
Set?
Yeah, it was really...
Triptych.
They're all over the place.
Different people.
And it was so bad I knew I was going to be like working at home for a couple of days.
So you're like, fuck it,
because of the hickeys. Because of the hickeys. So you went, I've got a couple of days, let's go mental.
Yeah. My blood was drained. But it was like, it was super, super warm outside, but I still wore a scarf to try and like get around, and I bumped into all my friends when I was at the shop.
Yeah,
and they were like, why are you wearing a scarf?
Why are you so
like
bohemian?
23 degrees out there. And then one of them saw it from the side, so it was quite embarrassing, so I had to unveil
how many
it.
Did you have?
It was probably like four or five.
After one, I'm telling the girl to stop, or boy to stop. I'll be like, I don't want this.
It's the moment. You don't know what, you don't even know where you are.
It's got a very sensitive neck.
I've never given
I just got a suckable neck. I can't, it's very, it's very juicy and...
I don't think I would find that.
I don't find it, well...
Well, you must be getting something from it, or is...
I'm not giving them.
Yeah.
I'm just receiving them.
Yeah.
I've never given a hickey before.
Yeah, I feel like I'd notice.
What, if it's, you go, that's one.
Thing is, dude,
that's another.
Thing is, during your makeout sessions, there's quite a lot of Smash Brothers involved. So you're playing.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, baby, just suck on my neck while I do this.
Whoever loses gets a hickey.
I'm slicing a character. You know what to do.
It's like, you know how in prison people get like a teardrop for every kill?
Samus. Yeah.
In Smash, I get a hickey for every limb. So, some markings.
Very good.
No, like in my head, you're getting the hickey. The percentage is just going up, up and up. And then,
she goes to hug
hickey. She just flies off and there's one hickey there.
When that smash ball comes in, oh, baby. yeah, mate, I think you got to let it go. And you don't want to know. Like, I think in a month or two's time, you won't even
you'll be getting hickeys from someone new. You'll be
getting hickeys from someone new. There you go.
That was our lovely show. Remember to grab a t-shirt before it's gone forever at everpress.com/RKG. And we shall see you next week.